Johnson.
This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, all. Thank you for joining us for the Troxford Budget Advisory Committee Revenue and Expenditure Subcommittee here on May 27th to discuss guidelines for the State Troxford Improvement and Modernization Fund and the Troxford Trust Fund. I'll take roll. I'm Zlatko Todorovic, and I will then turn it over to Judge Slough to make some introductory comments. So we have Judge Slough on the line, yes?
Yes.
We have Judge we have Sherry Carter on the line, yes?
Yes.
Do we have Judge Harmon? Unmute if you maybe put yourself on mute, just as a reminder. Judge Johnson? Judge Lee? Judge Miragonda?
I'm Judge Johnson. I'm here.
Oh, very good. Thank you, Judge. Judge Smith? Rebecca Fleming? Jose Guillen?
Here.
Sean Landry?
Here.
Stephen Nash? Kim Turner?
Here.
David Yamasaki? Who just joined?
Stephen Nash.
Hi, Stephen.
Hi.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We have 7 of the 13 members present, thankfully. Appreciate all that you could join. And obviously, as more folks join in, we'll add them to the roll. So I was going to turn it over to Judge Slough to just give some introductory statements about the purpose of the meeting and what we're charged to do here today.
Thank you, Zlatko, and thank you all for calling in at 8 o'clock in the morning for the call. So before I kind of dive into the purpose of today, I think we have some draft minutes for our meeting of April 2nd, 2015. And I think, Zlatko, am I correct? We need to have those minutes approved. Is that correct?
You are correct, Judge.
Thank you. If everybody would take a moment, if you've received all of them, the documents that were provided, take a moment to review, and at the appropriate time, please, someone make a motion.
This is Kim Turner. I move approval.
Thank you.
Liz Johnson, second.
Any discussion regarding the minutes, changes, modifications? If not, all in favor of approval, please say aye.
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 Any opposition? The minutes are approved. So with that task out of the way, the purpose of today's meeting, as you all are keenly aware, is that the Troxford Budget Advisory Committee has been tasked with setting forth expenditure guidelines for both the Improvement and Modernization Fund as well as the Troxford Trust Fund. And as part and parcel of that is to help the process of beginning to identify what are state operations and what are local operations or expenditures, I should say. And so that's why this group is together today, and staff, with the help of Sherry, very little help from me, and also help from Judge Earle, have worked together to come up with the draft that I believe you all have in front of you that is, I think, 8 pages long. So I thought what maybe we could do, Zlatko, is start off with just kind of looking at the text of the document, which are pages 1 through 6, before we then get into the different items on the expenditures for both funds.
Sure.
So with that, I'm assuming everybody received the documents and have had an opportunity to review them. If you haven't, please let us know, and I think someone can, I can possibly, if I have the technical experience, forward them to you. Everybody have them?
Yes.
Great. Not hearing that someone needs them, we'll go forward. So I guess what I would just first ask is just generally speaking, looking at the text of the proposed expenditure guidelines, ask staff to talk about how they were pulled together and developed and presented, and the drafts were up to where they are and in front of all of us today for further clarification and refinement. So, Zlatko, I don't know who you might want to have speak to just that process.
I'll start. And let me just set the stage. This is the notion of guidelines has been something that's been at the staff level for some time, and there were draft guidelines that were around that staff had developed, but they weren't formally adopted by the council until now this process that we're going through here. The audit sort of pointed out that while we haven't done anything inappropriate, we've been spending monies correctly, the audit pointed out that there was no documented process for them to validate and test the actual expenditures. And so, you know, oftentimes audits are about documented policies and procedures that then are verified and tested. And so, again, while, you know, expenditures have been appropriate, we did lack guidelines for everybody to be aware of and be trained on and held accountable to as we go through. So in addition to the audit pointing out the need for the guidelines, the audit pointed out what Judge Slough referred to as a re-look at the state and local state operations and local assistance budget, and then a process to sort of test those, validate those. So there's sort of three steps. We're here just discussing the first step, but there are references to state ops local assistance and the review process within these guidelines, and we will be updating these guidelines once the final, or at least the next phase of the state ops local assistance determinations are made, and the final rule on the review process. You know, we had a robust discussion about that issue at the last Budget Advisory Committee. The guidelines currently reflect what the rule proposal is, but obviously to the extent that the rule changes in any way, that would be incorporated into these, and so I'd sort of leave that as a placeholder for folks to appreciate. There's, I think, only one specific reference on page one of the materials, and maybe one more later on, but obviously those would be something that would be consistent with the final adopted rule. So again, not as if this concept's foreign at the staff level, but it was never something that was approved by the council, and we now are going through this process of taking it to you and the Budget Advisory Committee. So at a high level, are there any questions before I go on to the meat of the matter? Very good. So the intent here is to provide both an internal and external transparency on how we, as the agency doing expenditures on behalf of the trial courts out of the State Trial Court Improvement and Modernization Fund and the Trial Court Trust Fund. So it's all clear on what are considered allowable expenses and unallowable expenses, what's the process of evaluating that, what's everybody's role and responsibility in that. And so as you can see, first page is just a high-level description of the process of developing allocations. We get the annual budget. We get then the Budget Advisory Committee to make the allocation recommendations, and then finally the council, and then what it is that we do once we get those allocations. So on page two, you can see that circular process now at a more granular level. Now that the council has approved the allocations, they then have to be, assuming that, say, a particular office, like let's say my office has the a funding amount for the budget training. We get that allocation. We know how much that is. It's consistent with the amount that was approved by the council. And then using these expenditure guidelines, we make sure that we only charge those only those items that are allowable against the allocation. And then we ensure that once the item gets to the accounting side of the house that they've done, they're verifying and making sure that there hasn't been any, you know, mistakes or errors on the programmatic side, the office side of the house. And then once those are done, there'll be the compliance review, which we referred to, as again we discussed at the Budget Advisory Committee. So that's the feedback loop, because then you'd have the compliance review reporting to the council on the allocations that they actually made to ensure that we met program objectives and spent the money according to the rules that were adopted by the council.
So, Zlatko, this is Stephen.
Oh, okay.
Glyco? Hello? Can anybody hear me?
Yeah,
we said yes.
So on this document, it talks about accounting, but that's kind of a vague general term. What accounting? Is that judicial counsel? I don't know what you call it now. The accounting unit?
Yeah. Same as when you were.
Well, I know, but it's not clear calling it accounting.
What would you like it to be, judicial counsel?
Well, who's doing this? Who's responsible? What specific group?
The Pat Haggerty's folks who are the ones processing the
payment. I know, but I'm saying, if this document is supposed to tell us something, I'm just asking that it be more specific.
So you'd like it to be judicial counsel, accounting unit, finance office?
I'm just
office?
Asking what group that is being referenced here.
Okay, so we can say judicial counsel, finance, accounting office validation.
So at some point, and I apologize for my voice, I have picked something up. This is Sherry. But I have a couple of higher-level thoughts that I think Stephen would take care of what you're trying to do. And so I don't know when the appropriate time would be. I'm wondering if we should let Zlatko go through the document, which I think they did a really good job in producing. And then we can talk about kind of those issues, or I could raise them now. I mean, I'm happy to do that because I think, Stephen, it would help some of what you're trying to get at. Judge Schlauch, what would you suggest?
Well, I think if we could just, you know, maybe run through the whole, like I said, the whole text of it first, just high level, and then circle back and then begin to hit the questions, I think that might be a little bit more orderly.
Okay, so if it's okay, and I want to apologize to the Judicial Council staff because this idea didn't hit me until really very early this morning, but I think it would be an improvement to the document and would resolve some of the questions that people may have. So I would agree, let's let Zlatko continue on and then we'll go from there.
Thank you, Sherry.
Okay. So page 3 has the fund descriptions. I don't know if there's any particular issues with them. We then move on to the allocation process and allocations from the IMF and the TCTF and any particulars there. For reference, we did provide documents that are produced by the Department of Finance that provide or called the descriptions from the manual estate funds as reference, and also to ensure that people see that there is a sort of a statutory structure that we're working with in terms of the allowable expenses. Then we get into the actual expenditures, what are considered allowable. In theory, obviously, they all have to be consistent with allocations from the council and the programs that are there. This is all currently based on the current structure of the budget. Obviously, to the extent that there are changes in where monies fall in terms of state operations and local assistance, then the structure of the IMF and the TCTF programs, which are on the left side, would change. But presumably, though, the allowable expenses would still remain in terms of what is allowed or unallowable. As again, we get to page 7, we describe the kinds of things that have historically been unallowed, and we're repeating those. Again, I don't think that the audit did find anything that was not appropriate. It was just, again, a question of state operations or local assistance. We describe exceptions to unallowable expenses and a process that would be taken to the chair of the Budget Advisory Committee. We talk about the responsibilities of the program office in terms of consistency with the allocations and ultimately then the responsibility of the accounting office to ensure that payments are made consistent with the guidelines. We will then be responsible for providing annual training. There's staff turnover. There are changes in the programs. There might be changes in the budget. And so we want to make sure that folks are sort of consistently and updated on what it is that these guidelines have them in terms of the requirements of expenditures. And then, again, we have the compliance review that we talked about, which would be updated based on whatever the final rule is. Again, assuming that you've looked at these items, it's a it's a good process, laying it out. And if there are any questions, I know Sherry has some, so we can start with Sherry's issues. And
okay, so I was thinking about our trial court budget advisory committee meeting where all but one member voted to have Judge Earle write a letter to the Judicial Council opposing the new rule that would give the A&E committee the responsibility to ensure compliance with these guidelines because of the fact that we're developing the expertise, we're developing the guidelines, and we would become the experts. Because if the guidelines work the way that I guess I have envisioned them, when the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee receives the proposed allocations for review, it would show all of those services, programs, initiatives that support the trial courts, and it would list all of the funds that support those programs, general fund, trial court trust fund, IMF fund, and then the proposed allocations from the various accounts would be approved by the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee and then proposed to the Judicial Council for approval. The missing piece, and I think that is was really the critical piece because you're always better off approving something before the expenditure than finding it after the fact. And that was the other concern I think that we had with the proposed rule that's out for public comment is not only are we the experts and would be better to review it, but it's after the fact and then how do you address it? So I think having us do that review and approval before the fiscal year or, you know, as in proposing the allocations to the Judicial Council, I think that is a really strong component of the judicial of the guidelines. So what I was thinking about last night and this morning is that the A&E committee does have compliance review responsibility. That's where John Judnick sends his audits, and they review those audits based on a report by John Judnick. So there's no question that they have that responsibility. I would propose that the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee do the audit every year, and they provide a report to the A&E Committee, and they become, because that way we are the ones who are reviewing and recommending the allocations. We would be the ones to do the review at the end of the fiscal year and write a report to the A&E Committee, which they would then use for their compliance review. So I found three places in the guidelines that I would propose language if anyone else thinks that's a good idea.
I don't think it's a bad idea. I think why don't you go ahead and lay it out, Sherry, and then we can, you know, discuss it and roll it around a bit.
Okay, so on page 2, when you look at each office will ensure that all expenditures are consistent with the guidelines herein provided, accounting and whatever changes, you know, Stephen and Zlatko and others think would finalize that. That's good. But accounting will validate all expenditures for approving for payment period. The Advisory Committee on Financial Accountability and Efficiency for the Judicial Branch will perform compliance reviews, and I don't care if it's every odd year or every year, to ensure all expenditures were appropriately processed based on an annual audit performed by the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee. That way, the A&E Committee is doing what it typically does, which is reviews audit documents, just like they do audits for the courts, but we are the one, we're the body, that does the audit to ensure that the guidelines we've developed were followed, and we then give a report to the A&E Committee. So that would be the first of three places I would suggest a change. The second one is on page 7 in section 5.0, second line. Yeah, so it would say, the office shall ensure that the proposed expenditure is consistent with the approved allocations by the Judicial Council and with the allowable costs identified in these guidelines. And I like that added because, remember, the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee has reviewed and approved the allocation that's proposed to the Council. Now the Council has approved what allocations should be used by the program office. So I just think that kind of firms that up. And then on page 8, section 8, compliance review, A comprehensive compliance review shall be performed every, you know, either odd year or every year by the Advisory Committee on Financial Accountability and Efficiency for the Judicial Branch based on an annual audit performed by the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, period. This review shall validate the expenditures and then go on. So, to me, that kind of was the missing link. If we develop the guidelines and we develop the expertise and we review the expenditures and make recommendations to the council before they're expended, it seems to me we would be in the best place to review that in an audit capacity to provide a report to the A&E committee for their compliance review. So that was kind of my high-level thought to see if anyone else thought that was a good idea.
This is Stephen. Far be it for me to disagree with my good friend, Sherry. I don't know that audits make sense for, you know, the body like the Budget Advisory Committee to be doing audits, and especially, you know, under that format. It doesn't seem like a good standard way of doing reviews. And it certainly changed the whole dynamic. And I get it that there's language that would take some of the potentially take some of the area of review, but I don't know that it doesn't feel good, Sherry.
How would you fix that piece then? I mean,
I'm just saying this particular solution, but this notion of doing audits, it just, I don't see how that works.
Well, so I saw something like this, where the Revenue and Expenditure Committee every year reviews the proposed allocations before they go to the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee. We would see on the initiatives and the services and all of the programs supporting the trial courts where the funding is proposed to be used, you know, whether it's IMF, Trial Court Trust Fund, whatever. And then at the end of the year, we would do an approved, and an actual. So that's all I really saw. I didn't see us going in there looking at documents or, you know, doing what John Dudnick's group does, but just a review that would show, okay, so this is what we approved. Now show us the actuals, both which accounts they came from and how much you spent. And I think that is a high enough level review that we could then report to the A&E committee that, you know, there was an error in this particular area and staff now better understands, or we could say there was 100% compliance with what was approved for allocation in the beginning of the fiscal year. I mean, I didn't see us doing a true-to-God audit, you know, where you're pulling stuff, but just seeing what was proposed, what was approved, and what actuals were for the amounts and from which accounts, I think that's enough.
Well, I guess my concern is the terminology, and I still have terminology questions about, you know, maybe seen as wordsmithing, but some terminology about some of the informality of some of this language. And
Stephen, I apologize for interrupting you, but I'm sure that we have Zlatko. Zlatko, I think a couple of times people asked a question and you weren't there, so I know you are, but maybe we couldn't hear you. Are you available?
Please hold while I confirm your passcode. Thank you.
Maybe
your passcode is confirmed. When you hear the tone, you will be the 17th person to join the meeting. This meeting is now being recorded.
Yeah.
So,
yes, I'm here.
Okay. I think there's a little technical difficulty there. Stephen, I apologize for interrupting. You were talking about you're still kind of trying to get some of the language solidified so that we know what the words actually mean.
I'm kind of leaving Sherry's point. I know she's proposed something, so I'll leave it with that for now, that I'm concerned about, you know, calling it audits and then, you know, having the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee do audits. And that's a major change, and I also don't think this body is really set up to do that kind of thing, but that's my input on it.
This is Liz Johnson. Could I chime in here? I think Sherry's suggestion is a really good one from the point of view of taking the responsibility for managing the budget and putting it squarely in the hands of the trial courts. because really all it seems to be accomplishing is the truing up and the analysis of whether the budget that we proposed was in fact satisfactory during the course of the year, and by evaluating whether expenditures exceeded or didn't even come close to what was being allocated at the end of the year, the budget committee is kind of closing the loop, and then those findings can be forwarded on to either the Judicial Council or A&E. I don't think it's really so much a compliance effort, as I understand it, as it is just back-checking to see that our allocations were appropriate.
And don't call it an audit. Maybe that's the wrong term, Stephen, and I trust you completely. As you know, we're usually on the same side. And so maybe it's a review.
True up.
Or maybe, I don't know.
True
what.
Up.
Yeah, true
well,
up. I
this
don't
is
know. Maybe audit
you know
is
that we,
a term.
We do provide past year expenditures every year that we do the review. So I mean, that information is provided. If you want to more concretely identify what you do with it, that's fine, but I think Stephen's point about it being an audit is fair. It's not an audit. Just the information that we provide is always there. We even give multiple years. We don't give even 1 year. We give 2 and 3 and 4 years to give you trend data, because sometimes there's programs that go up and down as part of, you know, especially in IT.
So you're saying as part of our annual revenue and expenditure work we do, we actually perform that function already?
Yeah, but what I'm not clear is why in these guidelines, I guess since we refer to the review process, that's why you want to incorporate that into the guidelines. But,
exactly.
So we already provide multiple years of historical actuals, including encumbrance data to identify what's still on the books that not been actually liquidated. So we get actually a little more detail than just actual expenditures.
Well, Zlatko, you kind of led into, and maybe I know you were on the phone during our ad hoc group, where that's really become kind of an issue and something that we're going to be looking at. I think that's one of the things that I do think needs to be brought out here in the guidelines, very clear reporting on encumbrances. And I would suggest that, whereas I hear you saying that there is information that's there, I think that the information that's been provided to the Budget Advisory Committee and to the Council regarding encumbrances has not been as full as it probably should be. And maybe this is the place where we make that clear, because that's a big deal. We can dive into that a little bit more if you want.
So, Stephen, would you feel better if the language I proposed said based on a review performed by the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee? I do think we're the ones, especially if we're somewhat doing it already, to provide a report to A&E, so because we're the ones that have the expertise and could review what was approved for, you know, that was allocated under the funds and could go back and compare actuals. I think that would be not only helpful to A&E to do its compliance review, but it feels like it fits with what we're responsible to do.
So this is Kim. So Sherry, I also have a concern about using the word audit. It's a term of art that seems like it would be much more rigorous than I think what you're actually proposing. But I have another question or concern, so because I'm also on A&E. And so if TCBAC, the Revenue and Expenditure Subcommittee or some other subcommittee, does this review, and it really is a compliance review then, to see whether or not the funds were expended out of the right, you know, category, out of the right fund, whether it's general fund, TCTF, or IMF. I mean, that's really all you're proposing, is that if we allocate X dollars from to a program that gets money from each of those pots, we want to make sure that the money that is being expended is appropriately coming from the right funding source. And so if we do that and if we provide a report to A&E, I'm not sure what A&E is then going to do other than say we received this report, we'll just hand it over to the Judicial Council. I'm not trying to make work for A&E. It just makes the process a little more cumbersome. If the compliance review, if what you're proposing is that TCBAC do really this compliance review. Pardon me?
Yes, I mean, I think we're saying the same thing. It's a high-level.
Yeah, it's a high-level review. Yeah. So if we're going to do the high-level review in the Budget Advisory Committee, then there is no reason for A&E to do a second high-level review or simply look at the report that we send them and say, yeah, it looks like a good report and send it on up. I mean, it's sort of like there's no meaningful work then for A&E to do in this process. And so I think one of the things we suffer from a little bit in the branch is we have a lot of committees and they're kind of, it's a little bit of scope creep from one committee to the next. And so I want to make sure that we don't end up with everybody double doing the same work over and over again. So I'm not in theory opposed to BAC doing the compliance review, but I don't think we need BAC and A&E both doing the compliance review.
So what I was thinking, Kim, is, and I could be wrong, but what I was thinking is that I'm assuming there will be a similar auditor review, let's call it a review, for the, and maybe I'm wrong, but I assumed that there would be a review of the allocation expenditures for the state part of the branch. So in other words, for funds that the trial court budget advisory committees never look at, and so the A&E would be doing that compliance review, and this would just be a piece to kind of tie it all together. I think that, it would be inappropriate for the trial court budget advisory committee to look at any funds that don't support the trial courts, and so I had assumed that this odd year review would include funding expenditures for Supreme Court, Courts of Appeal, you know, and
right.
Yeah, so that's why I thought if they were getting a report from that half or that whatever it is, it would just kind of be a nice little package. But I agree with you 100%. I don't want extra work. I was just trying to support the role of the A&E by having us do this high-level review to say, yes, it looks like what was approved, and we have no worries.
Okay, I understand a little better now. So, because you're right, I mean, TCBAC really has nothing to do with Supreme Court or Courts of Appeal, or any of those areas. So we definitely, I agree with Stephen, we can't use the word audit. We have to find some other term. In theory, I'm not opposed to it, but I want to make sure that. So getting back to what Stephen said earlier, which he kind of beat me to the punch, I don't think we have quite enough words in this sort of introductory piece on page 2 of 8 to describe who the various players are and to describe their roles. I think this very short paragraph that starts with each office will ensure. Each office is sort of an orphaned term. There is no, I looked back and I said, well, what offices are we talking about? There were no offices earlier. So I think we need to be more clear. If we're talking about each office is each trial court and Judicial Council staff entity, you know, we need to define what that means. And like Stephen,
we're only talking about the Judicial Council's role here, nothing with respect to the trial courts.
Well, so if we go to the loop, it says Judicial Council allocation, and then it says office allocation. So who's the office? We need to.
So my fiscal office, HR, IT, LSO.
Okay, then we need to describe that better because it's a kind of an orphan term that, in my humble opinion, doesn't really describe what it is. I don't think that the average reader would read that and understand that that means LSO and CFTC and what have you.
Okay.
I also agree with what Stephen said that we need to describe who the accounting validation loop and the words about accounting needs to be more descriptive. Judicial Council services, accounting office, or whatever, TCAFs, or whatever it is, we should try to beef that up a little bit.
Okay.
I also, since this is a public document and we have to be, words have meaning, back on page one where we say, in the little chart, where we say TCBAC approval, I think we should say TCBAC approved recommendations and judicial council approval, because we only approve recommendations. We don't have any final approval authority.
Thanks, Kat, for taking notes on the document to make the edits.
Hey, folks, this is David joining the call.
So Sherry, I'm going to keep mulling over the suggestion that you have, and so I'm done talking for now if others want to jump in.
So this is Stephen again. So I want to follow up on what Kim was saying, which I agree with every point she made in all the words. And then when you get into the actual meat of the document, so like on page 7 of 8, so this stuff, again, I'm saying it's informal. She was saying not specific enough. But 4.5, there's a couple of things I want to, there's a bigger concept issue I want to discuss with that, but it talks about finance director. Now, I'm assuming, and I haven't looked at your org chart, so is that you, is that your title, Zlatko? Or
yes.
Are you still the director of finance, or what is it? But that's your title, your finance director?
Yeah.
So judicial council staff finance director or something?
Okay.
I mean, because finance director is pretty generic.
Yeah, I mean, maybe make a global statement. These were only to apply to the judicial council, so maybe our mindset was. So I think maybe people are confused that this was intended to somehow be guidelines for trial courts, but this was purely for judicial council, because that was the object of the guidelines, were for us to ensure that we're doing the right thing.
Right,
so,
but we've all
well,
worked
maybe
we
on, should say that up front.
But
know,
we've
we,
all
okay.
worked on language. When you're put, when you've got to be specific in these things. The,
yeah, no, I mean, again, we're trying to do something that hasn't been done in 10 years.
Yeah,
so we,
I agree.
You know, we appreciate that. We're trying to make improvements that haven't existed in the past.
Right.
So we're trying to make it better than it was.
I agree. So then, and then in the in 5.0, it talks about finance. Is that, again, I seriously have not looked at your org chart lately. Is that, what's the title of the unit? What's the unit? Is it called what? Finance division? What is it? But finance.
Just finance. It's just finance.
There's no finance office or?
No. They've taken the word office off of all the names.
But then program office, it's called finance?
It's just finance.
And accounting is just accounting? There's no unit?
Well, our concern is that the more specific we get, if there's ever a name change, then we'd have to go and revise these guidelines all over again. So having it be somewhat generic would be, since we've had so many name changes over the last 2 years.
You know, Zlatko, I feel your pain there. Kim, I just, these are public documents, and, you know, one of the things we have to be so careful about is, you know, we're all in the loop. But everyone else who gets this document, once it leaves our hands, is not going to be in
sure.
this loop and are not going to know what all these words and terms mean unless we're I hate to belabor it, but I think we do have to be a little more we need
oh,
to
that's fine.
Sort of state it up front, or we need to make clear that when we're talking about offices, we're not talking about trial court offices. We're not we're talking everything in this document is related to the inner workings of judicial council staff and the appropriate committees that work with them on ensuring appropriate expenditure of funds. So, like Stephen, I just think even if you're, the name of your office is finance, maybe it should say judicial council judicial council finance office or something like that, where we say administrative director. We should say administrative director of the courts if that's Martin's title. Just anywhere where we can have a lot
sure.
of clarity will help.
So then 4.5, to my mind, seems to be a real critical one. And the concept of, I get the concept of unallowable expenditures. That makes a lot of sense. Then the notion of, and consistent with the guidelines, but then the notion of, well, we're going to have exceptions to unallowable expenditures. That's a big deal. And that's a big one.
Which is one reason I think that it would be a good thing for us to review the actual expenditures at the end of the year.
Right.
I mean, that's another reason.
Well, but I'm just talking about the concept. This concept of 4.5 is just where has it been needed in the past? Do we have examples?
We don't, but we would rather have the opportunity to work. If something were to come up as we're heading into the future on how programs are managed, we'd like to have an opportunity to bring something forward that's considered. So that's simply put, and we felt like the opportunity. Again, this is something that we sent to Judge Earl, Judge Stile, and Sherry, and so I appreciate your concern, but we're here just trying to ensure that there's a full opportunity to manage the expenditures with full accountability to the chair of the Budget Advisory Committee.
So I have a question, Zlatko. Maybe it's the word unallowable, and maybe that makes it sound like it wouldn't fit the guidelines. Maybe what you're talking about, and only you would know, but are you talking about unallowable, or are you talking about expenditures that were not pre-approved as part of the fiscal year allocation review and approval by the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee and the Council? Because that's a different concept. And if it's allowable but wasn't pre-approved, that I think most people would have a lot less heartburn and would understand. So is it both or is it that? Because I don't think you're thinking that you would ever do something that doesn't fall within the guidelines. I think there would be a bigger chance that something would come up that was not pre-approved and you now need to spend money.
The concept there is that you never know what might come up.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't want to have ever been said that we went off and did something on our own without the appropriate knowledge of folks.
So maybe it's not unallowable expenditures. Maybe it's
ordinary and then
I don't know. I don't want to use the word unplanned, but unexpected some technical term that, because that happens to all of us in our budgeting world. Something happens and
so
you don't.
So Sherry, it sounds like you're trying to find the right word that keeps this concept going. I'm still struggling with the concept.
Yeah, except that you're focusing, Stephen, on unallowable. And
but it's the concept, the notion of if there are guidelines in place and those are approved and moved, why would there be? And so then I asked, are there exceptions where this has been needed? I'm not aware of any in the last 15 years. But I'm open to hearing why you would need something that potentially undercuts the whole concept.
Yeah, except that you're focusing on the word.
I'm going beyond that, Sherry. What I'm saying is this concept of if you have guidelines in place, why would this 4.5 be needed? I don't get it.
I don't care about the word. Yes, you do, because you're focusing on exception. And what I'm saying is I agree with you 100%. There should never be an exception to the guidelines. But I do think there is times that occurs in every business and court where something happens that was not pre-approved, where you have it will fall within the guidelines, but it wasn't pre-approved as part of the spending plan or the budget. That's a completely different concept.
This is Judge Lee. Under 4.4, the second sentence says, any expenditure that is not consistent with the program or project objective as approved by the Judicial Council is unallowable. I mean, I have problems with that, the whole idea of unallowable expenditures, because it puts it outside of, the programs. I mean, it's like a loophole. It's big enough to drive a truck through, just by that definition.
Would you have language to suggest to change it, Judge?
Well, I'm not crazy about the whole concept, Zlatko. So, I understand that there needs to be some leeway, but this creates a gigantic loophole.
Well,
which is give us an example of where that's happened.
And I think my point is that the whole point of doing the guidelines is to bring accountability, not to create an exception that somehow is suggesting that trucks will be driven through them. I mean, we're
well,
trying
don't
to bring
you, don't
trust.
You agree, but so, don't you agree that that language is so general that anything under the sun could qualify? Is it any expenditure that's not consistent with the program or project objective? I mean, that's anything.
And so we offer the process by which this would be reviewed by the chair of the Budget Advisory Committee. So it would not be something that would be unilateral, even to be unilaterally considered and discussed and approved without that input. I mean, this is not a hill to die on. We want to just provide. If a court needs something that's not inside the guidelines, then how does that get raised?
Can't you have a contingency category or something like that?
And we just want to be able to provide some flexibility that is an accountable flexibility to the Budget Advisory Committee. These guidelines have never existed prior to me, so we want to be able to make sure that we're going at this with the fullest potential options here with accountability.
Sure.
This is Marcia, and I tend to agree with Sherry's view of this because just because we don't know – can't come up with an idea right now what might fall within it, we do know that we don't want it to be referenced as unallowable.
Sure.
But there could be a contingency that arises that would require an expenditure that if we don't have some kind of category similar to this, then the reality is it would just be left up to, most likely, the administrative director to figure out where to pull the money and where to pay for this unanticipated expenditure. And so what I hear this as being is an outlet for that unexpected expenditure that wasn't addressed during the annual review and a way to deal with it and to assure that trial court budget is involved in allocating that money in the appropriate fashion. So I tend to agree with Sherry on how to look at this paragraph.
But I think it has to be modified where it's unexpected expenditures go through this process, but they must comply with the guidelines. There's never an exception to the guidelines. We're not, you know, that would be a problem. I agree with Stephen and Judge Lee 100%. But unexpected expenditures can happen. And as long as it falls within the guidelines, there should be a process because they were not pre-approved.
Are these expenditures that are by way of emergencies or urgencies? Can it be categorized as something along those lines?
Sure. No, I mean, that's why we're having a meeting, so you folks can provide us your input and make sure you feel comfortable with it.
So I think if it's worded as Sherry suggests, then we feel better that, as referenced by Judge Lee, we're not creating this loophole that would allow a diversion of funds in a way that hadn't been anticipated or allocated according to the review, but allows us to participate in that situation should it arise that there needs to be some kind of unanticipated allocation.
So this is Kim. Why do we need to have these provisions included here anyway when we have this set aside for emergencies that, you know, so when a trial court, when the Napa court had an earthquake and that was obviously unplanned and there was no pre-approved allocation to assist that court, had Napa needed to, they could have gone to, you know, the gone through the process of trying to get some emergency funding, and we are still setting aside 2%. Judicial Council is holding back 2%. Is this somehow different than that? Because I'm trying to imagine what kind of expenditures, unless they're not trial court expenditures, what kind of emergency expenditures would
those would not be subject to for this sort of situation. I mean, again, this is for we couldn't think of a reason why there would be, but in the event that there is, we wouldn't want to have been restricted, but can be the difference. And NAPA did make a request for allocation out of it for $180,000, and they did get that.
Right. Okay. So
we have very limited guidelines that one has to fall within to get that 2% emergency money.
True, but that's the good news. The good news is that we're trying to throw a net over, you know, the latitude of years of yore. And so to the extent that, like Stephen, I mean, I think the word unallowable is troubling and it needs to come out because it implies that there's something wrong with the expenditures or that they don't comply. I think saying unplanned or unanticipated is a better word. But having an entity, whether it's a judicial counsel staff office, go to the finance director for consideration, and then that goes to the administrative director, and then the administrative director just consults with the chair of TCBAC. I think that we've got so much oversight on this now. Wouldn't it be better to have that go through the ad hoc working group of the subcommittee on revenue and expenditures rather than leave it, so that we could really, we're getting pretty good at doing this due diligence now, so I like the idea of the Budget Advisory Committee having that, playing that role.
Or you could actually said the you could add a clause, the unexpected expenditures will be included in the annual review by the Trucker Budget Advisory Committee if we decide we want to keep that review process.
I think Kim's got a good idea, though.
I do, too. I like that idea.
Okay.
You know, it brings more daylight to it. So not to get off track, but, we had an ad hoc working group meeting last week, and I think we all learned some things about, not that anyone did anything wrong, but decisions were made years ago, and nobody remembers them now, although we're certainly presented with great documentation on them, that have moved money around in kind of unusual ways, and I think if we using kind of the new prism through which we look at money, we would probably make different decisions about things today than we would have made 10 years ago. So to the extent that we can have more focus and more eyes and more people developing expertise at looking at these things, I think that that's a better process.
Perfect.
Yeah, and I think that's consistent with our goal of trying to be transparent and also have accountability for where the money is spent. I like Sherry's idea in terms of unplanned or
unexpected,
unanticipated, unexpected, and with the review being by revenue and expenditure of TCBAC, because at the end of the day, when we look at next year's, one of the things we are going to be looking at is, did we spend the money well? Did we make the right decisions? So there's an accountability in that also in terms of the whole process. And I think keeping it under one umbrella is consistent with really year-to-year supervision or accountability, however you want to call it.
So if we're going to change the words in 4.5 in the title to unplanned or unexpected or unanticipated, that's great. However, in 4.4, unallowable expenditures are still unallowable expenditures, correct? So there's now no relationship between 4.4 and 4.5 any longer. So we probably need to describe what an unexpected expenditure would be at the beginning of 4.5 to have it make sense. Otherwise, it will look like it's related to 4.4 in some way.
So, Stephen, if that approach is the direction we take, are you more comfortable with 4.5?
Sorry, I walked to the other side of the room. Yeah, definitely that's an improvement. I mean, my preference still would be, I don't know why we need 4.5, but if it's going to be there, then Kim's, the way she lays it out, I think makes a lot of sense to me.
And would that be by review by the revenues and expenditures, or would that be the process that's currently down there? Because I'm not crazy about the 4.5 as it's currently written, and would rather have the review by revenues and expenditures.
That's what I was proposing, Judge Lee. This is Kim.
Okay. I'm good with that.
I like it, too. Since we are looking at specific words. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. The beginning of 4.5, we need a sentence that says, you know, something about that defines what an unexpected or unplanned expenditure is.
And ensure that it complies with the guidelines.
Exactly. It needs to be added in plain English at the beginning of 4.5.
Mm-hmm.
Well, can 4.4 and 4.5 be kind of squished together for one paragraph or not? What do you think?
I'm sorry, 4.4 and 4.5? I don't think so. I think they're actually two completely different concepts, because 4.4 is really still unallowable expenses.
Right.
Expenditures. It doesn't really have anything to do with what's in 4.5.
Okay.
Can we go up to line 10 in the chart that's on page 7 where it says assigned judges? I don't think we should include appellate court assigned judge-related expenditures. I'm not sure why we would have appellate court there.
Yeah, it's all budgeted, in the same line, so we had to make it explicit that that pays for both.
Wait. This is trial court trust fund.
Yeah.
I know, but that's the provision 3 of the Budget Act provides for that as well.
Say that again. So the trial court trust fund allows expenditures. I've never heard that. Allows expenditures for assigned judges at the appellate level.
Yep.
It shouldn't. It should replace the trial court judges who are on assignment with the appellate court. In other words, if a trial judge has been asked to sit on assignment, it covers the assigned judge at the trial court level, never for the appellate court.
Yeah, yeah.
So the appellate court should come out, because you're still talking about the trial court assigned judge-related expenditures, because you're still covering the trial courts. Not the appellate courts.
For the budget bill language, to make sure that everybody saw everything that's included.
So Zlatko, could, for clarity's sake, could we say trial court judges assigned? I was going to try to make clear that it's trial court, it's judges assigned in the trial and appellate courts.
We can make.
So it doesn't look like we're you know, spending TCTF money on appellate court justices or having
or judges on assignment.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
We'll take your language.
Thank you.
Hello.
Are we just sort of free flow here? Can I go back to 4.2? This is Kim. On page 5. So I just have a question. Line number 4 says payments to counties for workers' comp tail claims associated with current or retired court employees. Do we actually still have some of those 17 years later?
There's a potential that there's, I think we still have maybe a couple that are outstanding, but that's why we haven't budgeted anything for them.
Sacramento is one of those that's still outstanding.
Okay. All right. I thought that maybe that was just left over and could be finally dropped. And
so,
five, six, and seven all relate to this idea of travel-related costs for education and conferences and Budget Advisory Committee and WAC. So couldn't that all be rolled into one, it's travel and other, meeting materials costs or something like that, materials and rental costs associated with these meetings. I call them out as sort of separate line items, and I mean, that's just wordsmithing, but it just made sense.
I like it separate, Kim, and the reason is because if we do the high-level review at the end, those would be coming from different accounting codes, but from funding sources that we want to validate. So, you know, I kind of like it separate, unless there's a reason to plug them together.
Okay. It's fine with me. I just thought it made more sense, but I'm happy. It won't matter to me anyway, Sherry.
You're going
to
be called back and help with these high-level reviews, Kim.
Can we hire her on as a consultant?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Can we go to page 3? There's a sentence both in 2.1 and 2.2 that says any funds unencumbered at the end of the fiscal year are reappropriated to either the IMF or the Chalker Trust Fund for the following year. I think that the current practice of repurposing unused encumbrances needs to be kind of identified. So in other words, it's my understanding that many of the program departments' offices will repurpose unused encumbrances for other things. And I'm not sure that should happen. And that's why, again, I like the high-level review, because it would show the request, the approved, and the actuals. And those actuals should roll over to then be put into the budget spending plan and approved allocation by the council for the next year, rather than the program offices repurposing those unused encumbrances.
Well, they're not, I'm sorry, I just want to make sure. They're not repurposing the encumbrance. The encumbrance has to be used.
Oh, I understand. They're repurposing the unencumbered.
Well,
In other words, when things come in less than what they cost, they are disencumbering those funds and using them for something else.
But they just go back to the fund balance, and then they're reallocated for either the same purpose for the next year or for other expenses. So,
now, that's not my understanding, and I could be totally wrong, but it's my understanding that sometimes when funds are disencumbered, they are used for other things. It may be within their program. It might be for, you know, these one-time savings that sometimes we hear about are from disencumbered funds. And I think those one-time savings have been a problem for the branch, because then it doesn't show the true cost when we're trying to look ahead. And I'm, you know, specifically relating to technology, these one-time savings. When you're looking down the line and you go, wait a minute, how did that jump, $1.3 million? Well, we had one-time savings. Well, they disencumbered funds and paid something. And I'm not, you know, I'm just saying that's troubling to me, because I think that should roll over without the program offices making those decisions. And if I have that wrong, I apologize, but that's my understanding.
It's an issue of technical budgeting, not that the office carries it forward. It's, if you look at the law, it's any unencumbered funds. That just means that it's weird. There's inconsistencies in the budget. There are places where statute will say that you can just spend whatever you want, but we're still limited by allocations and appropriations in the budget.
No, I get all that, Zlatko. We do this every day in the courts. We have the same rules you do. All I'm saying is that if I have a contract that I am telling my board of judges is going to cost me $3 million, and it comes in at 2.1, I am not going to go spend that $900,000 without giving a new proposal to my board of judges. And I think the same should be applied to the Judicial Council employees when it comes to the Chalker Trust Fund.
Let's do that, though, Sherry. The language that you're talking about right here is not related to what you're talking about.
Okay, well, then that's why I wanted to make sure that we talked about what I call the repurposing of those funds. And
well,
I don't know. See, for me, that's another important component of the high-level review, because we would see the actuals compared to the approved. And if things pop up in the first couple of years as we're getting used to this, well, oh, gee, I just used the savings from that contract, or the service came in less than I thought, or I didn't use up to my allocated authorized amount, and so I used it here. There could be guidance provided that no, that money should come back, and there should be a review of what the priorities are. So I don't know how to state that, and I didn't know if it would be related to these two paragraphs or not. Does anyone else know what I'm talking about?
Sure.
Okay.
To say that those paragraphs are the statutory structure of the funds, not the at the office level.
Okay.
But again, in theory, if they had any savings from one part of their allocation, it would be an expense, again, for the purpose of the allocation that was given. So it's not as if they should be taking savings from Program A and moving it to Program B. if it's savings as some component of Program A that can then be used to further the purpose of Program A, that's still consistent with the approval of the program. I would totally agree with you that if someone said, let's take money from A and move it to B, that's problematic. But within the A proposal, if it has multiple facets and it's still forwarding the program, that would be, I think, I see your point is if you're crossing like A to B, but we're talking within A or within B or within C.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I don't agree with it, but I know what you're saying, and maybe this isn't the place to discuss it because maybe it's not related to the guidelines. But I just don't think it's a good practice because the actuals, we should be building historical actuals so that we can do better jobs in doing our budget projections and our spending plans in out years. And it's hidden. It's hidden from the Talk or Budget Advisory Committee because we get the proposed requests for the allocations, and we go, whoa, why the increase? Well, we had one-time savings. Or, oh, gee, we had, you know, and those things are very misleading and hard to plan for. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm off topic on this document, and I apologize if I am, but it is a practice, I think, that we need to talk about.
Why wouldn't it be in the guidelines? If it shouldn't go here, maybe it should go somewhere else. You know, as direction for that review that we've decided.
Well, I don't know if we've sold everybody on the review. Maybe we should go back to that. That could be part of the review, and we don't even have to state it in the guidelines, I guess.
Well, can we, on one of my things on the language, I did not mention 7. 7 also was, again, I was calling it informal or breezy, but responsibility of finance. Finance will provide training. So I think it's consistent with what Kim and I were identifying earlier. Let's be a little more specific.
That's fine. Yeah. No. Where we have general references, we'll update those with JCC and the specifics as necessary. Are we moving on to other issues?
So Stephen did that response from Zlatko, and I apologize. I allowed myself to be, for my own self, to be misdirected and didn't hear. But did that answer your concern regarding 7.0?
Yes. Yeah, it did. Thank you. He said he's going to be more specific and go through the document. So
okay.
Thank you.
So specific thoughts, comments, ideas, concerns regarding the proposed guidelines.
So I'm just going to ask one more time if there's any interest in having the TrialCorp Budget Advisory Committee do a high-level review, not an audit, a high-level review comparing the proposed, approved, and actuals at a high level that would assist the A&E committee. And this is my last attempt, so if there's no interest, I will give up.
This is Judge Lee. I support it, Sherry. I think it's a good idea.
I support it, Sherry. Liz Johnson.
And Kim, since you're on the A&E, don't you think that would be helpful to have another body do the high level review and just send them a report for their review?
So Sherry, I'm fine with that. I think we need to say all those words, and so it can't be called an audit. It should be called a high-level review of
perfect
the proposed, expended, and actual.
Perfect. And so those three areas would be page 2, last sentence. I would put a period after before approving for payment. Period. The advisory committee, blah blah blah, will perform compliance reviews. I don't care how often, based on a high-level review, including proposed, approved, and actuals performed by the TrialCorp Budget Advisory Committee, an annual high-level review.
So, Sherry, let me ask you, is that separate and apart from what we already do?
You know, I don't think we actually would get the detail that I think we should have, because in the beginning of the year under the guidelines, we will see all of the services, initiatives, programs, whatever, and based on the guidelines, we would see, I'm making this up, I'll use audit services, for example. Audit services had $600,000 or $550,000 or something that came from general fund, and then there was $600,000 that came out of IMF. So on that line item of that service, it would show audit services, general fund, you know, $550,000, IMF, $600,000. Then at the end of the year, and, you know, that we would have these line items for these services, initiatives, programs. We would then review it and approve it, give it to the Judicial Council saying we recommend this as the allocation. Then at the end of the year, we would get the same document but with a new column. This is actuals. And on audit services, it may show that from the general fund they only spent $350,000 and from the IMF they spent all $600,000 or whatever it was. And then, you know, so it would be kind of that high-level review. Now, if there was some significant money that was left, the question might be asked, well, where did it move? And then our discussion with Lotko earlier about, well, it was approved for A, so we spent it on A, which will give us the savings next year. Then the committee could say, okay, well, that's a really good practice because that's an ongoing expense. Or they could say, well, gosh, you know, in the future, those things help – hide the actual costs going forward, you know, so there would be that dialogue. So I don't know if that explains it, but I see it as kind of the same document we see in the beginning, that, and we have not seen that level of detail on a regular basis. We have this year because of the Revenue and Expenditure Committee having to reduce $11 million, but I'd like to see that going forward.
Sherry, this is David. I'm sorry, I didn't catch the initial presentation you made because I was on the call, but I have a question. You mentioned that the responsibility of this group would be to respond to A&E. Is this something that
provide a report too, because A&E has the compliance review responsibility under the guidelines.
But it would not be a report that they've asked for. It would be for an added responsibility of this group to provide information to A&E for whatever action, you know, they're going to make or not, correct?
Exactly. And the point was, David, that it seemed consistent with the action we took at the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, which was to ask Judge Earle to send a letter opposing the proposed rule that put the A&E committee responsible for the review, since we're developing the guidelines, we've developed the expertise, and we could more easily do the review. So this would basically just provide them assistance, just like they would receive documents from, you know, Judicial Council staff on other expenditures or audits from the trial court. So, you know, we're not doing an audit. We're doing a high-level review just to compare the actuals with what was approved. So it's just to assist them, assist the A&E committee in their compliance review.
So this is Kurt. I had a couple of questions, or if I could put these things forward. So let me just give a scenario. So everybody knows that we have the audit program that goes out and audits the courts, and that's paid for by the general fund. Part of this discussion is not to review those expenditures, is it? Because that's getting into, you know, strictly the JCC budget.
Well, so I
fund.
Disagree with you, Kurt. I think any money that is used to support the trial courts that's part of a program expenditure should be included on the line item.
And I would disagree with that completely.
Okay, well, then I think that is a transparency problem that you all need to talk about, because that is, in fact, the crux to the matter, that when you're spending funds on programs, initiatives, or whatever you want to call it, services, and you don't allow the trial courts to see the entire cost for that program, initiative, or expenditure, that is not transparent. And so it has nothing to do with your money dealing with your staff or your, you know, these are services, initiatives, and programs that benefit the trial court, and I think we have the right to see what actual programs cost. That's what the audit wants us to do.
Well, I would disagree with that. That's overstepping the charge of the subcommittee.
Well, then I think that's something we're going to have to talk about, because I think that's, to be quite blunt, I don't know why you would possibly want to hide that information.
It's not an issue of hiding it at all. That is the responsibility of the council.
So this is Kim. Can I jump in here for a minute?
Sure.
So one of the things I think we are dealing with now, and having been around for a few years, is that decisions were made and appropriately made 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 years ago to do cost offsets and to do various things that are now kind of buried in the moving of money. And I think, you know, one of the things that we need to do is we need to really surface all of those old decisions, because those old decisions were based primarily in a time when we were in a period of great growth and resources. And so without going into a lot of detail, the Revenue and Expenditure Ad Hoc Committee met last week, and some of the things we found out about were really, really interesting, and I think would really help all of us to do our job better if we understood the complete 100% picture of how certain things are funded. And it's really hard to tease out that information now, given the way the thing is structured. So there were several aha moments that I had, and, you know, I've been around, I've been on the council. I'm sure I was even involved in some of the approval of those decisions way back when. But now we're in a completely different period of time. The prism through which we look at expenditures is completely different. And I think the decisions that trial courts need to make need to be based on 100% information about how they spend their resources and where we have courts that are getting offsets that the rest of us don't know about. We need to understand that, because we may want to ask every court to evaluate when they buy a service. If they have to pay 100% of that service, then they have better information to make decisions about how to move forward with selecting the appropriate vendor or resource to provide that service. Right now, there are still a number of areas where that does not happen, because there are subsidies that are kind of hidden in the, and I don't mean hidden in a bad way, I just mean subsidies that were decisions made long ago to benefit certain trial courts and not other trial courts that we need to reexamine.
So let me ask you this, Kim, because what I hear you saying is that we need a larger kind of policy discussion that is beyond the scope of the purpose of our call today, but related to the work that these guidelines will ultimately be used for us into the future. So I guess my question is, how do you suggest moving forward with our purpose for today, plus getting, you know, having a larger policy discussion?
So Judge, thank you. The Revenue Expenditure Subcommittee, I think, is the right place to put that that policy discussion. I think it's an important discussion, and I think it's one that we need to really, really roll up our sleeves and delve into, especially in the new year. I think there's a lot of assumptions about money that's spent, for example, out of the IMF on programs, and since we don't ever really dig down into the weeds to find out exactly what the whole expenditure structure looks like, we do not understand that maybe a few courts are getting a different kind of a break than other courts. You know, I think if we're going to give subsidies or we're going to give breaks to certain trial courts or to other entities, we can do that. That's certainly within the council's purview, but it needs to be done kind of in light of day, a lot of sunshine on it, so that we all understand what's going on. And I think the council would even be surprised. I'm sure many of them don't remember some of these decisions that were made long ago that live on, because they just have not yet been reviewed, you know, in 5 years, 7 years, 10 years. It's kind of like how the civil complex program started as a pilot, and then it went on autopilot for 15 years, and nobody really looked at it again. Well, we're in a period now of reviewing every single program that receives public dollars to figure out, are we spending the dollars the right way? Does the trial court have enough information to make decisions? Do all the trial courts have enough information about where those subsidies lie? So that's what I would suggest is that the Revenue and Expenditure Subcommittee should continue the work that ad hoc group started last week and should do more of a deep dive into some of these areas where we do not have the full and complete picture of how things are working.
So then how does that work dovetail into what we're accomplishing or trying to accomplish today as it relates to this first kind of dialogue on this on the proposed guidelines? Where do you see today's call going?
So, Judge, this is Dave. Can I just jump in really quickly? I think I don't necessarily agree or disagree with what it is that we want to achieve, but where I'm a little uncomfortable is giving ourselves a role for the council to act before the council has asked us to assume that role. So I think that what might be helpful is to actually discuss this in a bigger setting. And I'm with Kim. There are certain things that I was educated on last week when we were going through some of the precise expenditures and how monies were expended. You know, the line item may have said it's X, now it's X plus Y. And so I think we can add some information to the discussion, but I would feel more comfortable bringing up to the Budget Advisory Committee to see if this is a role that all of the membership feels is the appropriate way to go.
So, David, this is Kim. I completely agree. I mean, I have an opinion that it belongs with the Revenue and Expenditure Subcommittee ultimately, but I think it needs to go to the full Budget Advisory Committee first to have a real discussion about it.
And should it still go to the council also, please?
That's what I was going to ask, Kurt. Then would it also be taken to judicial council so that, as David brings up, we all know that that is within Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee's charge?
This is Liz Johnson.
I don't have any problem with that, but I agree with Sherry that we need to have access to the information, and the information is public information, and I realize that it's burdensome sometimes to untangle things that took place a long time ago, but I don't think anyone would argue that we're all entitled to know how the money is flowing through these various funds.
Judge Slaw, this is Liz Johnson. May I speak for a second?
Yes, please.
I was just wondering if we couldn't, I agree with everything that's been said, and especially the importance of comity and deference to the Judicial Council here, but we have been asked to look at the state versus local state expenditures and local assistance definitions, and this could provide a platform for some more meaty discussions of the very problem we're talking about, I think. And I don't think we should shirk our duty here in the sense of waiting to be told where it's okay to do it. I think we've been told. And I'd be in favor of going further with this discussion, especially in the context of those definitions.
This is Stephen. First off, I want to say I concur with what I think I understand David to be saying and Kim on how, you know, that we need to proceed in a certain way on this. Can I separately, though, also ask, going back into the details, because I think we're also looking at the details, the on page 6, it's under the TCTF allowable, and it talks about trial court operations. And I realize this must have been pulled out of the state budget, but I'm real concerned when they say trial court operations and then that's identified as state operations. That's a very dangerous territory to be going into. So I wanted to ask what the thinking on that section was.
I'm going to have Colin respond to that technical detail.
Trial court operations is an official appropriation name in the Budget Act. So those are state operations expenditures from the perspective of the Department of Finance. These were previously expenditures that were paid from out of Program 4510. So that's why I think they refer to it as trial court operations. So do we necessarily agree with how they're designated? No, but that's how DOF decided to do it.
What are the programs? explain those programs?
Primarily, it's Triver's the major one, but beyond that, it's reimbursable costs related to, like, Schedule C, such as CCTC costs or V3 hosting costs.
So Colin, Zlatko, and others, I just want to be clear what I hear you saying. Is this, we're being asked to approve this, but it's already Department of Finance has said this is how it's going to be. Is that what I'm hearing?
Until we come back and tell them that we want it to be different, this is what is the as-is-now Budget Act display.
These guidelines are only intended for 15-16. We are planning on making changes to these operations versus local assistance designation for the future. So this is really to state what the current structure is.
Right. As Judge Johnson said, our guidelines now, the state ops local assistance split and the proposal to go to the Department of Finance to redo the budget display and the governor's budget and the Budget Act to align more appropriately state ops and local assistance.
Right. Well, I appreciate that, but I'm still so, again, I don't understand. Is this maybe we just need to be frank. Are you just saying, look, this is what they've directed us or we've decided and we just want you to sign on, or because
this is the Budget Act and would exist, so we are reflecting what is current law. It's not a eat it or whatever. It is what's the law, so we're therefore aligning the chart with what's in the Budget Act.
Okay.
It is a temporary, and we redo these guidelines for the updated state office of local assistance. So do you get that?
My concern is proper operations and state ops, that's just not a good precedent.
That's been there
for 3 years. I heard you suggesting that changes may be suggested as we move forward. Is that something? So are we really suggesting and open to changes, or it's nope, can't do it?
Oh, absolutely. We've talked about the audit and the state off local assistance thing for like 6 months, Steve, and I'm not quite clear while we're talking about this. I think I even started the conversation today with three steps: guidelines, state off local assistance split, and the review. We clearly are moving on to the next steps of the state ops local assistance review. And I think we even reported, Judge Early even reported that we've had initial discussions with the Department of Finance on how to do that. So
Stephen, one of the things that we've been considering, you know, obviously is the next step, not this step, that addresses like 3015 is, yes, there are things that we're looking at that aren't like staff costs, judicial counsel staff costs, and they're not distributions to trial court, they're in between. And so we're looking at how we want to categorize those in the future. So these would fall under that category that we're looking at, is how are we going to propose structuring that in the future.
So I guess then, so I appreciate that, and that's important. I guess my recommendation would be that, and since you're open to it, Zlatko, my recommendation, anything called trial court operations would not, that's local assistance. That's not state
action. And that will be part of the next guideline update when the Budget Act reflects that structure. We have to get a document in place for the current world. We're looking for a changed world. We will then change the guidelines to do that. This is for now as is.
That is just the name that you would actually see if you looked in the Budget Act appropriation for Program 3015. It unfortunately says trial court operations. And again, that's just a relic of the fact that it used to be, those expenditures actually used to come from the support for operation of trial courts category, because they were related to support for the trial courts, or they were like grants for Shriver, which were more associated with local assistance.
Well, it sounds like we have, this is Liz Johnson, it sounds like we have a little bit of a moving target problem, and we've moved beyond what we were talking about in terms of dealing with budget true-up and review and so forth, and into more of the structural issue that has been bothering us, where the hidden treasure lies, I guess you could say, not hidden treasure, but where the things are that we don't understand, stuff that falls through the cracks. So, Zlatko, are we actually charged today with making some definitional changes with this state operation?
No, we are aligning in the guidelines that which is current law. We've talked about this process, and maybe we haven't done a good enough job because I keep getting similar questions, which is guidelines for the current process. We will then be working on state ops local assistance changes.
Okay.
We will have to then redo the guidelines for those change rules. So this table will look different. The definitions will look different. But we have to do something now in order to satisfy the audit requirements.
Okay. So really we should just probably stop at the Sherry Carter suggestion of adding in the year-end review.
And I even have a proposal, because really my intent was to help the A&E. But it was to do two things, to support the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee decision to oppose the proposed rule that had A&E do the compliance audit by itself because they don't develop the guidelines we do and because they don't have the expertise we do. But I do clearly understand the position that I think David articulated and perhaps Kim about, you know, we don't have – why would we give ourselves authority to do something we haven't been asked to do, which is the high-level review? So my language on page 2, for example, that said the A&E committee would perform compliance reviews based on a high-level review, blah, 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 maybe we don't say that. They can do their review on anything they want, but maybe we still indicate that there will be an annual high-level review by the Revenue and Expenditure Committee of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee that will compare proposed, approved, and actuals, and leave it at that. Now,
yes,
if the A&E committee requests it, it's done already. But if that's the rub, that was not my intent to expand the. It was really an attempt to assist them and to try to support the decision we made as a group. So whether or not you say that the A&E does their compliance review based on our high-level review, or whether we just insert a sentence that says the Revenue and Expenditure Committee will do an annual high-level review to comparing these things, and then the advisory committee, you know, the A&E committee, will do their compliance review. I'm okay with that. I just think we are the ones who develop the guidelines, will understand the guidelines, and can assist in the technical, more high-level review, of course, but we're the ones who are going to be looking at it in the beginning and would be easy for us to look at the true-up at the end. So I'm open to doing it either way because it was really in an effort to assist the A&E committee, not to take away from them. So whichever way you think is better, I'm open. But I do think we should be doing an annual high-level review comparing the actuals to the approved.
And so, Sherry, were you suggesting that we go to trial court budget, the full group first, and have trial court budget take it to judicial counsel?
Well, this draft document that we're going to make changes to will be discussed by the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee. Oh, you mean the actual report.
Yes.
You mean the high-level review.
Right.
You know, sure, we could do that. Uh-huh, of course. If, you know, I just think we're the right group to do the review because we're the ones who've made the guidelines and approved the allocations that are now going to the council in the beginning of the year for approval. So it was really in an effort to be helpful. So, that would go to the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, sure. I just think it would be helpful to the A&E Committee to get that kind of a document from the experts, like they rely on John Jednick to do his trial court audits.
Right.
Because they don't go in there and review all that stuff. They rely on someone who's had experience to say, hey, these are the high-level things, and we either found these things or we didn't find these things. Very high-level report. So, anyway, that's, like I said, you know, it was an attempt to be helpful, and I still think we should include the responsibility for us to do that. But I'll give it up if there, like I said, if no one, if there isn't a, an agreement that we think that's helpful, then, you know, I won't raise it at the full trial court budget advisory committee conference call because I can't get you to see the value in it. I certainly wouldn't try it again.
So, David, does that answer your question or your thought or question that you had?
Yeah, so I don't disagree with what Sherry is talking about, the benefit of having a review of that. It is it different by distinguishing the fact that it's part of our normal process, and you know, I'm good with that suggestion. I think that it's worth also for Sherry to bring it up at the full group. You know, this is something that we kind of headed into new territory at the last budget advisory committee as it relates to the rule change, and I think it would just be helpful to bring it up to that group. And I don't know that Sherry should drop the issue. That's not what I'm suggesting either. But right. I just want to make sure that everybody is on board with this responsibility, and, you know, so.
So if we like it, I would add the language, because this is a draft document that the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee as a whole will be reviewing, and that would be one of the topics we could talk about, you know, rather than try to get that large group to talk about it. If we think it's a responsibility that we could – that we would do, I would include the language here since this is, in fact, a draft. And if we take it out at that meeting,
we could separate it just so it's clear there's a review over here, but then the information that the Revenue and Expenditure Subcommittee, the Budget Advisory Committee, want to see is different so that there is a distinction and not melded into the into one section.
However, you know, I think an annual review, I think we said an annual high-level review comparing proposed, approved, and actuals will be done by the Revenue and Expenditure Committee of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, something like that.
Right. Sherry, this is Colin. I was thinking of possibly having two sections. So you have your compliance review section, and then right before that you have a section on reporting on prior year allocations and expenditures. And then we could say, you know, due by such and such date, you know, that, you know, the Judicial Council staff will prepare and submit to the, you know, Revenue and Expenditure Subcommittee a report on X that will contain this information. And that would be separate, and then you have your compliance review. So that way we're not characterizing it as necessarily part of the compliance review process. It's just kind of part of a reporting requirement for their review, and then you have your own compliance review section separate.
I'm okay with that. I mean, it's kind of the true-up that I thought was kind of a good word that you're, you know, the phrase that you used. Yeah, so if everyone else feels comfortable with that, I think that's good. And then if the A&E committee feels that it would be valuable to look at our comments from that, that's up to them to decide, right?
Well, we can just make it available to them.
Sure.
And so if we're going to provide an annual true-up report to A&E, perhaps we should change the compliance review to, instead of it being every odd year, it should be every year. You know, it'll just, I think, make it flow. We'll close the loop on this before, you know,
that
might
makes
make sense to do it annually, have A&E do it annually following receipt of our high-level review.
And then the next area where I think we would want to include that would be on the last page on the compliance review, maybe.
Yeah.
It seems to me you would probably want to perhaps add it there. Maybe you would say, annual report to the Revenue and Expenditure and compliance review, because now there are two separate things. One is the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, and then one is the compliance review by A&E. So probably would want to add something there and make it clear that it's annual as well.
Yes. That's what I was thinking.
Yep.
If that's a motion, I'll second it.
So what's the motion? I apologize. I'm sure you want to state your motion.
That we would modify both page 2 in the opening, as Colin suggested, where he will have a separate opening paragraph talking about the Revenue and Expenditure Committee doing a high-level review of the proposed, approved, and actuals, and that we would also modify Section 8.3 0 to include that high-level review by the revenue and expenditure of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee. And we're suggesting that that report be provided. Is that right? Is that what you had suggested, Judge, is that the report go to the A&E Committee or only if they ask for it? That we would leave
just
that
make it available to them.
Okay. And I think Kim had suggested rather than every odd year that it would be every year,
right.
That we would make it available to them every year, and then the A&E Committee can decide how often they want to, you know, review it, because theirs is after the fact. So if they want to do it every odd year, they would at least have two reports that would cover that period, high-level reports.
So there's a motion and Judge Johnson second.
Yes.
Any further discussion on that? Not hearing any. All in favor of those proposed changes?
Aye.
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 Any opposition?
So, Judge Slough, as a point of order, this is Kim. Do we need to also make a motion to change the 4.5 language from unallowable expenditures to unplanned or unexpected expenditures and re-describe that the determination on those would go to the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee rather than?
Well, my thought about that, Kim, is I don't think we need to make a motion on every proposed alteration to this draft guideline. I think this is a substantive change, a substantive addition that wasn't, it's not, you know, it wasn't included
right.
in it. And since it was phrased as a motion, I think it's probably appropriate to take it. But I think the other was just rewording and redrafting that section.
Right.
Any concern about that?
None.
No.
Okay.
Judge Slavis, this is Liz Johnson again. So I think we settled on the concept that the terms state operations and local assistance were being carried forward in this version of these guidelines for this year only because they match the wording of the law. But we have not really decided what to do about that terminology and the policy implications going forward. Do we want to try to preserve that issue and somehow bring that to the Budget Committee as a whole?
Well, so can I also raise in on that? Thank you, Judge Johnson. This is Stephen
yes.
Ash.
Yeah.
Because I also wanted to follow up on that. So I realize, you know, there was some sensitivity, but I wanted to drill down a little bit more. So this is a big deal technically, and I think everybody should be aware of this. So the trial court operations, and I'm calling it state operations, and then as identified, reimbursed Schedule C and non-reimbursed payments to vendors, that is a huge chunk of funds that under the new rule would now be, because it's state operations, not subject to the review of the Budget Advisory Committee. So it's a huge precedent. I think we should go on. We should be very clear that we believe that that should not be. Trial court operations, and especially all of those funds, should not be. And it's fine to say, well, Department of Finance put it in the budget bill, but we should be very clear that that is not, we do not believe that that is state operations. State operations is like the Courts of Appeal, Department of Finance, Department of Corrections. Those are all state
yeah.
operations.
Yeah. But if
this
you,
is
could, dry, if you could review
this is lo-
audit
this is local. Is, wait,
you should,
this is. Look,
the
I
audit,
to, can I finish my statement? Go ahead.
The CSA audit takes a different view. That's why the whole question is being looked at. But just understand, they raised the issue of state operations. So our views of what state operations might be and what the audit looks like, I mean, maybe we need to send out the audit again to read the sections about what it is. It talks about anything that the AOC then, the JCC now touches, is to them maybe state operations. So if we take money and spend it on your behalf, they are suggesting that's state operations, even if it's something that's for your operation.
Well, and that's why it's really a definitional
yeah.
problem. And we can't just scoot it down the road. We have to really take it on. And I'm not sure this committee is really prepared to do it other than to identify it as such and flesh it out more at the full budget level.
May I make a suggestion? On page one, it says these guidelines will be effective for this fiscal year, and it says guidelines for fiscal year 16, 17, and onward will be developed. So I think this committee will have to look at those definitions where we'll have more time. We're just trying to get it done as best we can right now for this fiscal year. Isn't that what I'm hearing, Zlatko?
Yes.
Okay. But I do think we're going to have to better understand that, and I don't understand it clearly as well as Stephen Nash or Zlatko, and so I think those are going to have to be discussions. We're going to have to probably spend a day or half a day or something figuring that piece out because...
excuse me, Sherry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, please, go ahead.
I was just thinking maybe we should take the kind of cautious measure of calling out the problem right now before sending these proposed guidelines up and say something like maybe even a footnote, the Revenue Expenditures Subcommittee is especially concerned about the terminology and proposes to more specifically identify the divisions of the funds, but this year's guidelines simply track the budget language for purpose of ease of use or something like that. In other words, we're not endorsing anything.
Well, why can't we be a little more strong, though? I think it's a mistake to just accept that these, again, huge expenditures are going to be identified as state operations. It's an area that needs to be defined, I agree, and I think, but we need to be clear, it's being defined if we don't step up and make it clear that that's not an appropriate definition. This is local assistance money. It's not state operations money, and we should be clear and not, so in my view, I'm trying to push the envelope a little bit. No, don't just assume a year from now everything's going to be fine or you know, let's do that. I'm saying we should go on record. That's a big deal. This should not be state operations.
And I kind of think that's what Judge...
So everyone understands the kind of size of this. The payments that Stephen's referring to, next year they'll be roughly about $4 million, and then Shriver will be another about $8 million. So talking about $12 million in total, you know, and other than Shriver, it's only about $4 million because V3 is moving over to IMS.
Well, I completely agree, Stephen, and I guess I'm just wondering if we have the time and ability to take it on right now. But I'm game if everybody else is.
So I think that that's a little, and I don't disagree that we do need to take it on. I just think it's beyond the scope of where we are for this morning. And I agree with Judge Johnston. Maybe we need to footnote somewhere or highlight that this is just this year, and we need to take the deeper dive, as Stephen suggests, and help to define that for the out years. And we need to, you know, we need to move on. We don't have a lot of time to wait, but I just think it's, we can't get bogged down between doing that in this call versus just trying to edit this draft.
Well, I'll make that motion then, that we add a footnote that says those terms are simply used at this time because they mirror the budget language, budget bill language, and they don't reflect an endorsement of the subcommittee or they're not an indication that we approve the current definitions.
Right. And so... Is it, anybody have any change to that language or thought about that language or concern about the language?
Can we, this is Judge Lee. Is it too bold or too much also to suggest that that be on the list of things for a trial court budget advisory committee to reexamine in this coming year?
It is. that is the expectation already. We would Judge Earl and Judge Flower on the audit response committee, and we've talked about this being part of the work plan for the Budget Advisory Committee and specifically the Revenue and Expenditure Subcommittee in order to present this to the Department of Finance for revision to the governor's budget in January to reflect the proper alignment of state ops and local assistance.
How about putting some language in acknowledging that this is already on the radar for trial court budget to emphasize that?
Well, will put that in the report. My opinion, it's not necessary for the guidelines.
My suggestion is to put it in the footnote following Judge Johnson's motion, which I will second.
I'm fine with that amendment.
Any further discussion? All right. Any concern about adding that to the footnote? Everybody's good with that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposition?
This is Jose Gui, and Judge, just as a matter of process, I think we've added so many language that it would be helpful to have at some point the final draft so that we can, you know.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, that's kind of where I was going to head next, because we're kind of getting close to the end of our scheduled two-hour call, and I'm sure we all have other things scheduled this morning. So I guess my question would be, what are our next steps? And I think that would include putting some of these changes into another draft and getting them distributed to all of us so we can look at it, and scheduling another call out in the next week or so, if that's...
Judge, in order to meet the June council meeting requirements, if you recall, we already have a Budget Advisory Committee meeting scheduled for June 2nd, a call. So that was the timeline we were working with in order to get this done in time for the 6 month report for the counts, for the audit response. If you recall, that was our target on all this. So having a call in a couple of weeks, I think the hope that we could circulate the draft back out to you all, and then it would be part of the discussion on the June 2nd meeting.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, I think that would work. Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the June 2nd. That is the conference call?
Yeah, for this topic.
And, yeah, I'm trying to see where it is scheduled. I know we confirmed that, right? What time of the day is that? Because I don't see it on my calendar.
3 to 5. 3 to 5.
3 to 5. Okay. I will get it added.
So, Zlatko, you'll have the proposed changes made to this draft circulated to all of us as soon as practicable.
Yes.
And then we can, by email, make any proposed, again, changes to language or suggestions, and kind of have it be a working document for a couple of days before it's wrapped up.
Yes.
Perfect.
All right, anything else before we head off with the rest of our day?
Thanks, Judge Slough.
Thank you, Judge Slough.
Yep, thank you.
All right, then we'll wait for the draft.
All right.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Slacko.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
You didn't know I cut?
No,
So Jenny didn't say what she.
How do I turn off the recording?